So never, never interrupt me, okay? Not if there's a fire. Not even if you hear the sound of a thud from my home, and 1 week later, there's a smell coming from there that can only be a decaying human body. And you have to hold a hanky to your face because the stench is so thick that you think you're gonna faint. Even then, don't come knocking.
And welcome to Rangers Radio, episode 0, 2015. It's January the 3rd. I said my second or third attempt at recording this. I've been a long time out of the microphone. And finally got a new studio up and running over in Manchester. I've had all sorts of adventures and weird shit kick off, so which resulted in me being kind of evicted from where I was living out in the woods, which is a downer, but also a good thing because I've got recording space that doesn't have people reversing cars in the background, and I'm not in a tent for one, and it's January and I'd be too bloody cold to record anyway. So the new studio is laid out nice. I had to spend a few quid on extra cabling and stuff like that, and I got a really nice comfy new office chair, thanks very much to the Chaos Bunny helping out with that. And so it's amazing that all the equipment has kind of held up reasonably well. There's not a lot of new stuff in there, so the studio's back in one place. Got the same microphone, same mic stand, same mixing desk, some of the same computers from the last few recordings. It's absolutely mental. So everything's plugged in. We don't have Skype capability just yet, but hopefully we're going to have the capability to get some really cool news and music and some good chat over the next forever. I'm going to start off 2015 and say we're just going to carry on recording once a week every week. If you don't know the email address already to send your news and views and ideas and stuff, then that's v4v@earthling.net, and the website is rangers.com. So I've been up to lots, especially in 2014, which we've just passed through. And so I went to Nine Worlds Sci-Fi Fantasy Convention, which is my first ever convention. Then, in the spirit of doing more conventions, a whole bunch of us went to the EMF camp in Milton Keynes, which is what our post-halftime music chat is about with the Chaos Bunny. I learned to program Arduino, sort of. Got a Raspberry Pi up and running, sort of. Got evicted and moved to Manchester and stuff like that. Enjoying living in Manchester. Actually got some urban stuff going on. And so I've been to the Hackspace in Manchester, Mad Labs, been to a couple of Raspberry Pi jams now. And completed a course with a local FM radio station, which is very, very cool. So it was like a 2-week course, and they let us on air, and they're continuing to let me on air, which is very, very cool. So we haven't got any news for you this week, because this is kind of just me not being so really freaked out in front of a microphone, although I've been doing it live. But when you do it live on FM, you're too worried about millions of other things to actually get nervous and try and bugger about with sound quality. And I have been mucking about with the sound and stuff all over the weekend. So this is my first recording, and no matter how badly this goes, I am putting this out live tomorrow morning. So next week we'll be doing news, so I'll be hopefully recording over the weekend or Monday next week, and 2015 should have done some stuff by then, and people should have sent me some links to the email address. So that's pretty much it. I'm planning to talk about the radio station course next week. We've got the chat regarding EMF, which was in September, or the beginning of September weekend in 2014, and it was really, really cool, so hopefully you'll stick around for that. Again, I want to talk about the Nine Worlds Sci-Fi Fantasy Convention in more detail, so I'm going to do that. The weird thing about that is that I kind of considered nerds to be very, very inclusive, and it turns out that they're not, and there's a bit of an equality problem with this. So I really am going to talk in a bit more detail about sexual and gender equality in the sci-fi fandom, and I was properly horrified. However, Nine Worlds, the convention, which was held at Heathrow earlier August this year, they actually had a whole track on feminism. They catered very, very well for people that, you know, wanted to have their genders taken in consideration and their chosen gender and stuff like that. It really was a very inclusive event, and my problem with it is with the sort of like the fandom generally rather than that one event, because that one event really did cope with it very, very well, and we went and did some cool stuff. So there's that. Been playing with Arduinos, trying to get, as you know, kind of like an off-grid lifestyle going, so I'm now trying to build the robotic farm to go with that, so that's very cool. And again, that will be future stuff, as much as you want to know about it. Raspberry Pi, what can I say? It's a computer. You plug it into a monitor, plug in a keyboard and mouse, and you've got essentially a fairly slow computer, but you can plug stuff into it, which I haven't done yet. It's mostly been with the Arduinos. They're very cool. Yeah, and FM radio broadcasting. If you're interested, you can probably go into the archives at All FM, have a hunt around there, and we'll do some stuff. In fact, All FM's got an online anarchist radio show that you might want to check out called Under the Pavement, and you can actually listen to that on Mixcloud, although I think they've been doing it a long time and there's not much anarchy to talk about. I am doing my very best to get on that show, so I'll drop you guys a link. So, we're going to go into halftime music. First track is Benjamin Jameson featuring Laurel O'Connell with Couches in My Head, and followed by Jonathan Coulton with I Feel Fantastic. I love Jonathan Coulton's stuff. I'm going to be playing a bit over the next few weeks because he's put out a lot of stuff. And if you've got any more suggestions for music, I'm kind of looking for sort of geeky music and stuff I'll actually like, rather than sort of shouty sort of death metal or chip tunes. So if you've got any suggestions for music, that would be great. Ideally unsigned artists. So we're going to go into that, and after that it's going to go pretty much straight into the chat about EMF with Chaos Bunny, who was very kind enough to sit down for about 45 minutes, and that's why this bit is very slow. Also, don't have any news, so I've got nothing to really get outraged about and no real structure to it. So we're going to go into the thing, which is going to be now. So I'm going to attempt to now switch over the music and get it running.
Born again, I've been breathing. check my messages, but I don't have any messages. I take a driving deal and head to my car. I drive around it because work isn't very far. I call my phone and I check my messages, but I don't have any messages. All I know, driving on drugs feels better when they're prescription. All I know, the world looks beautiful, the world looks so damn beautiful. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now, right now. Work is anything but quiet. Concentration haze. I can see the day unfold in front of me, so I take the stairs and hit the gym. The phone is ringing when I get to my desk. What was the sting? It's now a sharp pain in my chest. So I take a Calmex and just chill. And then it's time for lunch again. All I know is work is easy when you don't stress out about deadlines. All I know is I take my medicine. I always take my medicine. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now, right now. Over, but I can't stay to work late. Gotta leave and get ready for my second date with a pretty girl that I met at the pharmacy. Right in the prescription line, I take a pill for my social anxiety. I get a table and a nice bottle of Chablis. Now it's getting late and there's still no sign of her. I have another glass of wine. All I know is the wine lasts longer when you don't gotta share it with someone. All I know is the steak tastes better when I take my steak tastes better pill. Fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now, right now.
So, as promised earlier in the show, clever thing there, time travel. Where I'm now here with Chaos Bunny, and we're going to talk about our weekend at EMF.
I have no idea what to say.
I am curious as to whether you're going to feel bound to call me V.
What? Oh God, that thing.
That handle thing is so silly. It was silly at the time. Decades ago, it was silly a decade ago, and we got a giggle out of having online handles because, yeah, you know, there's no such thing. It's not like CB radio or anything. If somebody really wants to find you and you've uploaded something to the internet, they're going to find you. It's the most pointless kind of disguise. It's even more pointless than me putting my photograph on every upload that we do.
Well, I use an internet 3G. I use a 3G dongle that someone else has paid for. But I suppose it's still attached to my credit card, so yeah.
No anonymity on the internet.
Someone can find it.
Yeah, you know who we are. Anyway, EMF.
Oh yeah, EMF. That thing, it was awesome. I had such a great time, and I've forgotten everything I did there.
Yeah. Okay. It was a really nice atmosphere, and it was a very cool place to be. You know, in the way that normally geeky people cover up that they're doing geeky shit. It's like if they're into lock picking, they don't really tell everybody. Or if they're into building giant robots and stuff, they generally keep it quiet. They don't advertise to the world that this is what they do for a hobby, generally.
I think on the whole, if you're into lock picking, you don't want to tell everybody.
Yeah, but things like that, people doing cool shit like computer security and building weird freaky networks and building robots and crazy shit like, you know, drones and stuff, that's a bit weird. A load of people not only enjoying just doing what they do for fun, but like showing off what they can do to a group of very appreciative people.
Sounds kind of like my friends.
Yeah, you get to be around people like that all the time. And mostly my friends are like that too, but like 1,000 or so, 1,500 people.
Something like that.
Because that's how many badges we had to make.
Yeah, that sounds about right then.
So, yeah, we got lucky enough to get volunteered because we were walking past the tent where they were plugging the batteries into the camp badge, which is a very, very cool thing.
Oh, I even got to flash software onto them.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That mostly involved plugging USB cables into things, leaving them for a couple of minutes and then unplugging them again.
Yeah. But we got to help make the badges, all of us, or the entire sort of rangery contingent, because Kevin as a geek was there, along with another friend of his. And we were patched into all these other geeks. We knew the people at Hackman. So hello everybody at Hackman, if you ever listen to this. This is highly unlikely, but it was fun being camped near you. And the Dutch people were very cool. And the people at Milliways were fun.
All in their beautiful orange suits.
Yeah, but generally it was a really nice atmosphere of people totally getting their geek on. And it didn't matter if you didn't have a talk that had been prior clean, because there were plenty of hack villages that if you really wanted to give a talk, you could have got it announced. That there was a chat or a workshop that you were running organised. It was a really good information system.
Yeah, they were throwing things out on the Twitter account.
The Twitter account was telling everybody of all the changes. It was really high tech, because we had power to the tents as well. Complete proper mains power, and we had internet to the tents on as many different types of frequency. They had 5 gigahertz and a standard, 2 standard, 1, 2 encrypted and 1 open network running all at the same time, and a phone network. Brought along a cell phone network.
There were not enough people using the local cell phone network.
Oh, it was cool though. There was a good 50 people or so.
Need more people with dual SIM phones.
No, well, I did say to the guy, seriously, more people would be interested in this if you had advertised it better.
Oh, hell yes.
Loads of those geeky people. Because I actually bought a phone and you've already picked
I have so many spare handsets. If yeah. I'd known there was going to be a local mobile network on the field, I could have brought them with me. I could have lent out so many.
That's what we should suggest next year. If you've got an old unlocked phone.
Uh-huh.
Bring it along and lend it to,
yeah,
or give it
not
to
crazy.
The network, who will keep a box of them, and any that aren't used up by the end of the weekend get sent over to charity. So you can go and pick up a free play phone. The person doesn't want it anymore, is glad to be rid of it, glad not to have to throw it away and that it will be used.
Mm-hmm.
The person that gets it will get a free round the camp phone conferencing system for the weekend, and the battery will last all weekend too.
Yeah, stupid phones have way better batteries.
The phone book was on the internet. So you can make free phone calls and use your smartphone as your address book for the dumb phone. Without having to load
that's
up any
if you
numbers.
Have a smartphone.
Yeah, but it would have been really nice because everybody put their handles on, everybody kind of knew. If you knew somebody that had one of these things, then it would be obvious that that was the person you knew because from their handle, because mm-hmm. most hackers have online handles. For
spurious
reasons.
Yeah, somehow everybody guesses mine.
Yeah, by looking at you. Yeah, no, it was really fun. That was fun. Camping was nice. Nice people to be around. Everybody was mellow. There weren't any really thoughtless people there at all.
Not that I noticed.
Sort of few and far between. People weren't thoughtless. They flirted with you.
No, there was a duck crash though.
There were a few home-built electric vehicles. One was a giant bath rubber duck. And the other one was a big track, which was far better designed. and they actually had a race, and I'm so sad I didn't get that on tape. I'd have given anything to have recorded a video of the big track versus the big duck race. That would be fun as anything, because the big track was actually remote control. They hadn't really got the in the vehicle joystick working all that well.
Oh,
if anybody wanted to go to drive, you'd be in the thing, but somebody else would be driving it. So they did sort of do
that's trusting.
They did do things to scare each other and stuff like that. And I think when they got the joystick working, the remote had an override. So the remote person could override the person driving at any time.
Oh, that's a serious trust exercise.
And they didn't look particularly trustworthy as far as stuff like that. They made sure they didn't hit anybody, but they were up for scaring people. People had some nice drones as well, that was one of the first videos up, was an aerial video taken by one of the drones.
You see, that's the bit I find a little creepy. It all starts to get a bit Matrix there.
Yeah, but, you know, drones. I think it really annoy. I'd like to see, if you were properly going to protest against something, like in a really organised protest, as mm-hmm. in we're going to make things difficult for people and show that we can type protest, you know.
Okay.
That would actually achieve something.
Mm-hmm.
Then the protesters having their own fleet of drones that were more or less uncatchable would keep police acting within the law.
It's an interesting theory.
I'm kind of into sanctioned use of drones in the way that the military claim they sanction the use. I think they're like a sanctioned idea, just on a general understanding, a moral code, if you will, that you will only film things if you have like an artistic reason or you're doing something in the interest of the public.
Well, in the UK, legally, you can film in any public place.
Mm.
So, as long as your drone's over
yeah.
a public space and not into...
But I'm hugely into something that when a government does it, it costs £2 million a pop. When Bob in the street does it, it's about 50 quid. I'm all for it being completely reachable. That technology, people have just researched it, and you can build one for like 50 quid. If you go online and you just look at the very simple plans, it's really not a lot of work, and you will have a surveillance drone. So it's no longer a question of who has money gets to spy on who.
I suppose that's fair enough. Is this what we call droning on?
Yeah, sorry. No, I've always liked the idea of just people owning them to make governments go, oh, there's not much point. I'm all for like cheap technology defeating military industrial complex. The internet, for example.
Sure.
The disposable mobile phone, you know, the things that governments are always... The nice thing is now governments are chasing us for technology.
Hmm?
Well, if there is something sufficiently powerful internet-wise, or to computing power, or a tool, or an encryption, or a piece of software that makes people more powerful, it takes a long time for the government to catch up to it, by which time the next thing is usually halfway through development.
Yes.
So the technology curve is no longer in the hands of the people with the most money. It's in the hands of the most bored kids.
The whole Napster thing.
Well, it's the whole hacker thing. It's all like the hacker type people are creating products well ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
So that they are the leaders in that technology. It is generating industries behind it. Those people will, if it's an industry that's going to take off, do well out of it if they pay attention. So now, geeks are first in the market with anything.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, so that's why I like the hacker thing.
So, EMF.
Yeah, that was great. Went to some workshops.
Oh, we did. Even my pet rocket scientist had a workshop.
Is that a workshop or a talk?
Oh, no, that wasn't a workshop. That was a talk. That was great.
Well, I suppose somebody did get to come up from the audience and set fire to a rocket engine. That was cool. In a tent.
And blow things up on stage.
Yeah. I'm amazed they went for that. Because you would have had to have discussed it with them, you know. Because when he turned up, he was like...
Oh, he had a really detailed risk.
I need to go and get set up because there are explosives in the back of my car. And
yep.
they're, like, not guarded. And I'm supposed to guard them. They're not supposed to be out of my possession at any time.
Full detailed risk assessment.
Yeah. No, that's just sensible.
I've never read his risk assessments. I ought to. I think it would be a bit of a giggle.
Oh, no, seriously. John's talk was awesome.
Mm.
It was really fun, as was the sex, drugs and rock and roll talk, which
oh,
I hugely enjoyed.
What was her name? Zoe something.
But she's actually got a book out called Sex, Drugs and Rock and Roll. I will try and make sure there's a link in the link section of the end of the show, of the show notes, the download those as well.
Zoe Cormier.
Yeah,
that's it. I remember the thing.
And it was a hugely interesting talk about philosophy and psychology with sex, drugs and rock and roll.
She was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. Apparently marmosets do not party.
That's true. And even if you give them a tiny marmoset rave.
Yeah. So if you want to know what that's about, it's worth either going to the EMF thing, the EMF website, or going to Amazon and looking at the book, because I think she deserves all the book sales she gets, because it was hugely entertaining. It was very like... the talk was the same along... in a similar pace to things like A Brief History of Nearly Everything by Bill Bryson. Like, you're actually learning quite a bit of science and philosophy and history all at the same time as being hugely entertained. If you get a chance to go and see her live, go see her live. I have no idea whether she's on tour with it. I wish they could have got to Cory Doctorow. after we've walked across alligators to be in the tall recorded up film. As it was, Ben Heckendorf.
Ben Heck. Oh, yeah, Ben Heck.
Yeah. Benjamin J. Heckendorf.
Yeah,
from
I
the
didn't
Ben
make,
Heck Show.
I didn't make
which
it to
I
his
just
talk.
Got into. I'd started watching just before, because I was looking at things like the Raspberry Pi and the Arduino and stuff, and his name comes up a lot in association with miniaturising and electronics projects and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking into the auto farm thing. And he was at EMF, as was Simon Singh.
Yeah.
With the Operator's Guide to the Enigma Machine, which was a brilliant talk. I thought it would... I knew it would be good, but I thought it was such a dry subject that he'd have trouble making it funny.
Yeah, Simon Singh is always funny, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you ever see Simon Singh giving a talk about anything, do not pay attention to the title of the talk. Just go.
That's the moral.
If you've never
story.
Been to a Simon Singh talk before, you'll look at it and go, because this one was the User's Guide to the Enigma Machine.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like... how to use a cryptography device.
He makes maths
and
funny.
He actually made it hugely entertaining. It would be the sort, because I'd seen him talk before on Nine Carols and Lessons for Godless People. Nerdstop. And he was on that and he made it really funny. Funnily enough, Richard Dawkins and Dr. Tyson. DeGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Him and Richard Dawkins talking is hilarious. Mm-hmm. I've got that somewhere on video.
Nice.
But is it, I digress, but you know, it's along those lines. It's along the lines of somebody with some, you know, some real qualifications and that's done loads of research, but actually being hugely entertaining at the same time. And there was a woman talking about game theory, but we kind of missed that. But we went to loads of talks.
Yep, loads of talks, loads of workshops. Oh, the workshops.
Yeah, well, you got a bit workshop happy. You spent all of Sunday.
I spent most of the weekend basically hammering things.
It was very cool.
Yeah, the blacksmithing was fantastic and booked out all weekend.
And deservedly so, because they were fucking good at teaching
absolutely.
People to do stuff.
They were awesome guys. And they were going... absolutely to their credit, they were going from something like 9 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night with, it didn't look like any breaks.
Yeah, they weren't really shut up a lot.
They had a crazy schedule, producing solid work from everybody.
Yeah, I don't think anybody actually was able to fuck it up.
Yeah,
I didn't see a single person not walk away with what they'd intended to make.
Yeah, they were incredibly good teachers.
And it was kind of interesting that it was a very physical thing. And you could see every geeky person could see the point of being able to do this very physical thing in a way that they'd probably never been about PE.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As in, this is physical effort that I can actually get behind. And you saw that dawn on nearly every person that was doing those metal beating workshops.
It's not pointless exercise, it's a
yeah,
skill.
Yeah, I know. That was the thing, the determination in their eyes is like, if my PE teacher could see me now, they would not believe I'm beating the shit out of this metal for hours.
I have to say, the blacksmithing workshop was nowhere near as heavy going as the silversmithing. Because with the blacksmithing, we were heating the metal up until it was basically squishy, like clay.
Yeah.
But with the silversmithing, we were just beating the crap out of solid metal.
And silver, it's not like it's an easy metal to work, anyway.
Even
if you are a silversmith, it's a hassle to work with because it's so hard.
Yeah, so that was incredibly hard work, which is entirely why I went and did it twice. Because I'm crazy like that.
Yeah, I must admit, I am wearing one of the silver rings and it's really cool. I did get a bit fluffy about you making me that ring.
Was that my door?
No.
Oh, okay. Children.
That isn't so.
You're 100% sure? I'm going to check the window.
I'd go and look out the door and see if there's anybody at the door rather than look out the window. Because I think it's all about to kick off next door as a result of the argument. Well, because you could see that there wasn't someone at our door. Which I don't think it is. Hmm.
Are you still recording?
Yeah.
Oh, we were just getting all fluffy.
Yeah, it's just as well, really. No, we were getting fluffy.
A little bit.
So, talks, workshops. Oh, lockpicking.
Oh, yeah, the lockpicking. Yeah.
It's kind of nice to have a Larson skill. Isn't it?
A Larson skill.
Well, it's quite a Larson skill. It's like El Bandito.
Oh, all the mischief you could get up with that. Get up? Get up to.
No, I'd actually say that would be one of the survival skills I would add. Although you don't want that to be your only survival skill, your only reason for being. Actually being reasonably good at unpicking padlocks if there was an apocalypse would be pretty friggin' handy.
Yeah, so it turns out lockpicking is actually pretty easy.
Yeah, it is.
Disturbingly easy.
I don't know. I haven't managed to pick the locks on this house yet.
True, true.
So that it is a huge amount of practice as well.
I haven't had a go yet.
Yeah.
But it turns out it is actually possible. Okay, so it's not possible to pick a lock with a hair grip. You have to use two.
Yeah. But yeah, it was kind of fun watching you pick padlocks with hair grips. Once you kind of got the concept of what the lock is doing and which way it needs to turn and where the pressure is, you know, with a small enough tool.
Yeah. So I kind of felt like I'd levelled up there.
Yeah, that was kind of like, high five everybody. Yeah. No, I like doing that. I did get some lockpicks because I was like fascinated by it.
Yeah, but I've got hair grips on me every day. So.
They're not the sort of thing you want to order online.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Maybe not.
Yeah, so it was nice to be able to get them. I've got a Raspberry Pi as well. I've been playing with that. But more on that later, that's not part of the thing. It was just nice to be somewhere where they were for sale and you could see them and go, ooh, look at the tiny computer. Which is most of the appeal of the Raspberry Pi. It has to be said. I am a bit guilty about it, but they are.
Apparently size matters.
No.
It wants to be tiny.
Tiny. Unlike everything. But there was other stuff.
And more workshops.
Oh, we
workshops and more workshops. There was nettle rope making as well.
Yeah.
Which V was rubbish at.
I was a bit crap at it, but I had actually done it before. But the thing is, I find it really impossible to do unless the fibres are dried out.
Yeah.
Which we didn't have time to do.
I made decent string, though.
The best thing about the
tools, you know.
No, I was crap at it, but it was just like, I found it very difficult. And I'll admit to that. But I would advocate using nettle fibres anyway as string. You don't necessarily have to learn how to weave them into usable rope. They're plenty strong on their own, just twisted round.
Yeah, but that's another skill. That's
My favourite bit about that was stripping the leaves off the nettle without gloves on.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
I did end up with tingly palms for a while afterwards.
Did you? Did you sting yourself?
Oh, yeah. But then I had a date like that.
So I was really pleased that I got all the leaves off the nettle without stinging myself once. And nearly everybody that wore gloves managed to sting themselves. That was really funny. Because they were doing it much slower and more gingerly because they had gloves on.
Yeah.
They tended to sting the bit that wasn't covered by the gloves. Where if you do it really quickly, you're focused on.
I wasn't wearing gloves either, but no. I wasn't. My grip's not quite as strong, so yeah. I had to do it a couple of times before I could actually get.
Basically, start from the base of it and just move your hand really quickly, like super speed, mm-hmm. while gripping it really tightly all the way up the thing. It will take off all the leaves.
To be fair,
without stinging it.
To be fair, it was the first weekend I was using the hand that I broke. So.
Yeah, cool. I mean, you know, I was just saying that was my cool moment. But you didn't flinch from stripping them with your bare hand anyway, even though you thought you were going to get stung.
Hell, I've had nettles in worse places than that.
Yeah. Well, me too, actually. Anyway, so nettle string was very good. There were lots of...
And arm knitting?
Arm knitting. Not so good.
How did we feel about the arm knitting?
I thought
it was pretty
good. The V did not enjoy the arm knitting, it has to be said. I didn't. I was a sad V.
I think somebody might have a trouble with coordination a little bit.
Oh, yeah, probably. Have you seen me play guitar?
Not often.
No, that's why. Yeah, I really find it hard to follow someone doing a really complicated hand motion. I reckon I know what that is. It's because I hated hand actions on songs as a child.
Yeah, I can see that. It would have made it even worse if we'd been doing it to music.
Oh.
Arm knitting to music?
I don't bear thinking.
Shall I make up an arm knitting song?
Only if there's going to be someone standing by with sharp scissors to cut me free of myself. And I try and keep up.
Okay then. I think we can arrange that.
Yeah, I don't like arm knitting.
So that's probably the only bit of EMF you didn't like.
Yeah. It was funny. The only one social thing I did find amusing was that people would completely lose their mind if any of the toilets filled up. But that's because these people don't go camping.
They were pretty grossy by the end of the weekend.
They were, but it wasn't nearly as bad as people were freaking out. That, oh, just one of these toilets isn't very clean.
But I'm rather thinking that most of these people had not been to your average everyday music festival.
Yeah.
Because
it
was far cleaner and far more pleasant than most music festivals I've been to.
Or, you know, if you've been out in the woods, your standards, what you require from going to the loo really goes down the tubes if you, you know. Because you are like, there's a bit of woodland over there, I'll go and have a piss there. If it would have been really bad, we would have made alternative arrangements or dug a hole or something.
Go dig a hole.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I think I'm pretty sure we actually both had spades. I had my shovel.
I had my little shovel with me.
Yeah. So we would have been okay. But yeah, people did get a bit grumpy about, you know, anything being less than sparkling clean, which what was essentially a nerd version of a music festival.
Yep. In a field.
And there was music. We could have done with some more dance-friendly music. Anyway.
It was all a bit
And I don't really dance a lot. I would have just liked some, you know, some sort of party that wasn't Nintendo chip tunes or shit. Because now it's nicely ironic, but when I was a kid, you'd hear that all the time. It just drives you crazy because you wanted to play the computer game.
I did play Nyan Cat for you. I did that especially for you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we rickrolled. We Nancap rolled the side.
Is that what it's called now? The Nyancat version of rickrolling.
Yeah, Nyancat
rolling.
Oh, we got rickrolled back.
I think it needs something snappier. Nyan rolling.
Yeah, probably. No, I think we did pretty well. But then the little buggy that was going around camp all week that actually had sound effects on it. Did you see the golf cart with sound effects on it?
I don't think they did.
They were sort of parked up opposite us. They were forever tinkering with it. There was like a few golf carts and a few buggies wandering around, including the big track and stuff. A few electric vehicles were allowed on site.
Okay.
And one of them had like a sound pad board that was programmable to MP3s. So every day they changed the sound effects on the little keypad on the dash.
Yeah.
So he was driving along one time and he actually had the laser sounds from the TIE fighters on Star Wars. So, tiri, tiri, tiri.
Somehow that managed to entirely pass me by.
But he had Rick Astley Never Gonna Give You Up as one of the punch sounds.
Oh,
Rick Rollins. That's why you Nyanka.
Oh, yes, that was why I started Nyanka, I think.
Yeah, it was a fun time. We had radios for a little bit of the day.
We did.
Played with them, we were geeky. That's why I didn't go near the ham radio people, because you didn't have a license. If they'd have said, oh, who's the person, who have you been talking to? And it's like, oh yeah, my partner's out there, sort of like on one of the radios. Oh, is she a member of the RSGB? No. Has she got a ham radio license? No.
Hi, this is me. I'm doing something illegal.
It's technically illegal. It has to be said, if somebody reported you to Ofcom for using one of those radios, Ofcom would file it very thoughtfully in the B1N. This is like, fuck off. We'd find a random woman somewhere in the UK, you don't know her address, you don't even know her name, but she was naughtily using a ham radio. Oh yeah, the chopper's being launched right now, mate. Thunderbird 2 is being dispatched to find this woman.
We'll go and find her and tell her she's been a bad girl and give her a spanking.
That's all we're going to do for about 6 years is try and find this bloody woman from a photograph. I'll piss off. Yeah, but they are kind of a bit nerdy. Has to be said, lovely guys.
Mm-hmm.
They have this like, and it's self-imposed rules. That's the mad thing about ham radio. They've decided that they want these rules themselves. It's like, duh. It's not very anarchist. He's like, you know, you can do whatever you want. Okay, we'll impose a strict hierarchy. What the fuck? Yeah, anyway. I digress.
Reminds me of some folks I met.
Yeah. So, talks, workshops, the badge.
Oh,
they made a very cool badge. Everybody was going on about the badges. We mentioned them earlier. The badges were cool.
Oh, the badges were awesome. But, well, have you ever seen a convention badge you could play Tetris on?
Yeah.
And Snake.
And theoretically, it was going to have the conference schedule electronically displayed on the tag as you went through it.
Theoretically.
They didn't quite get that working. And it was supposed to have a weather tag to be able to tell you what the weather was. And yeah, it had a torch built into it.
The torch worked.
Hmm. Yeah. No, it is actually an Arduino controller. You can program it. You can talk to it and it will go, oh, this is an Arduino such and such based on the firmware. And then if you knew enough about it, you could actually contact all... Because it's got an accelerometer on it.
It does indeed.
It's got a Wi-Fi chip on it.
It does. And a torch. Rechargeable battery and yeah. Torch and...
It's an elegant solution.
And a tiny, tiny little joystick.
A really teeny tiny joystick. But the torch was... The LEDs were four-colour LEDs.
Yeah.
And they were based on an accelerometer. So when you press the torch button, because you'd have to look at it to find the button, it would wait until the badge was hanging vertically until it went to full brightness.
Unless
so
you had mine, which was installed upside down. Yeah. But hey, I get to be unique and special.
Yeah, and we helped assemble them. We spent a couple of hours in the lounge tent.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Plugging batteries in and testing the bits. And I think everybody, our entire encampment, went and did a few hours at that.
Yeah, one of the guys did soldering.
Hmm.
Several of the guys were helping.
Kevin was flashing. And
yeah. We were all flashers.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's cool. We had an amazing time. It was like a nerd music festival. And I had some guys, including someone you know, doing CNC and laser cutting.
Oh yes, that's true. Yes, my friend with the laser cutter, proper evil genius.
Yeah. Lots of very good people, including most of the major hackerspaces sent people, including, you know, from Holland and Germany and stuff like that. That was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice international crowd.
Yeah, loads of interesting people. It was just really good. Good food. The takeaway food was pretty damn good. There wasn't a single like crappy burger van, hot dog salesman, you know,
it's
like
true,
really
actually.
Greasy
they,
spoon.
They did manage to the get good quality independent food sales.
Yeah.
That was
they did
really
a pretty
nice.
Good job with good food, good coffee. They had someone doing crepes and someone else doing wraps. There was an on-site shop, which you could pretty much, if you didn't mind the markup, ask for anything you wanted, because they were quite prepared the next time they did a supply run to add what you needed to that supply run.
Yeah, they'd pop out and actually go fetch things for you.
Yeah, so, and there was a shuttle bus to and from the local train station. But you could just, if you could get it on the bus, you could take it, you know. So, yeah. It was pretty well organised and thought out, but the badges were very, very cool. They were made up by sponsors.
Yeah. The only problem is I'm sad.
Why?
Because the next one's not till 2016.
2014? Oh, it's 2014 now, isn't it?
It's 2014 this year.
Yeah.
The
I'm
next
getting
one's
old and decrepit,
2 years.
Listeners. Old and decrepit. I can't even remember what year it is. Yeah.
We are in the 21st century.
Yeah, it was kind of also, and it was likened to, and I think pretty similar to Burning Man. Because people would set up their shit wherever they felt like it and show it off. It was kind of cool.
I can't really claim to know for comparison, because I haven't been to Burning
Man. Yeah, I mean,
Man.
Much, much smaller. I mean, Burning Man's about 7k across. It's a city. But this way, if you're going to have a hacker village... If you were going to live somewhere in Hackertown, it looked like Hackertown.
I want to live there.
Yeah, I think everybody that went there wanted to live there. Everybody had a blinding time. Everybody was pretty thoughtful and respectful of that. I think everybody was pretty reasonable.
Yeah, on the whole. Plus, I get to live with the laser cutter. And the forge.
And the forge, and the ring making stuff, and the lock pickers. And just as well,
yeah.
Everybody was intense, weren't they? There'd be no point having any locks on your doors now.
Good point.
What would be the point?
It's just a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was hugely enjoyable. People had a really nice time. People, it did, obviously, with their clothing, people looked great as well. A lot of people you could have told a lot about from what they were wearing. People dressed pretty funky.
Yeah, there was even this crazy girl turned up wearing bunny ears.
Yeah. But that happens to you everywhere. I've even stopped seeing it. I really have. I'm generally only occasionally reminded that you're stood there in polka dots and bunny ears.
Yeah, it always makes me giggle when people go, "Oh, wow, you've dressed up for the weekend." And I go, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
This is my everyday clothing.
So it was pretty cool. I had a very, very good time. Would go again. I don't think we miss anything. CNC,
would buy again.
Printed. Oh, and the retro gaming tent.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that was pretty cool. Having a whole marquee filled with arcade machines and old computers.
Oh, watching my girlfriend play Pac-Man.
Yeah.
With
and
the
they have Ms.
Biggest
Pac-Man as well.
Grin of glee on her face.
Which is really rare. Yeah, there's loads of really odd games and stuff. Just, and that was running 24/7, as was the lounge. The lounge was open 24/7.
Yeah.
And the bar was open until very, very late indeed, as I recall. And it seemed to go on through the night. I mean, I just got tired, because you wake up in the morning and go, oh, there's so much stuff I want to do. The guy talking about Hexagerts, there were conversations about how they made the badge, how they'd organised the convention. A bunch of people had built a starship simulator and fitted it into a caravan and actually programmed a graphics engine and so three people could play a game as crew of the spaceship at once. And this thing had special effects, light switches, all the consoles had been hand-designed and were completely different. It wasn't just like a bunch of keyboards. They built all the buttons for the controls on the nuclear generator and power management, and the piloting was all different from the gunnery position.
Yeah, and I think they were showing video output in the bar.
The video output from everybody's game was piped straight into the bar via Wi-Fi.
So,
and that was, and they demonstrated the technology in the talk about how we did it, because they fired it up, and the guy on stage was talking on phone to the guy in the caravan, and it was being broadcast. The sound was coming out. Because there was no microphone in, because they never had to speak to someone inside the spaceship.
Yeah.
Because they're playing the game. So they actually had a pickup in the spaceship that actually came out to the TV. So the guy had a conversation with the guy in the caravan 300 yards away, live, during the demonstration. It was mint. Yeah, that was a really cool thing. I did want to go. I never got around to playing.
I missed that one. I want more. If I go again, I'm going to have to clone myself, because I need to be in three places at once.
It was one of those things where you couldn't possibly attend everything you wanted to go do. There was that much to do, and we weren't interested in a lot. There was, but just like basically enough to fill all the days. There was very little time sitting around.
Oh, the one thing
it was busy.
The one thing I'm definitely going to remember for next time is, if you want to do workshops, book early.
Yeah, like the second day announced on the website.
Like well before you actually get on site.
Yeah.
Don't wait until you're on site to book. Book as soon as they come out, because they were so popular.
Yeah, I think next year, if the whole Rangers Radio thing builds up, I am going to try and get some recent shows to them and volunteer ahead of time to do a radio slot.
Nice. Yeah.
So that's my goal.
We never ended up going to visit the radio folks.
Well, I did, but it was unattended, which I thought was woefully, you know, foolish, in given that I was on site. And I was like probably the least anarchistic, tinker with shit person on the entire site. Because, you know, there, it was a site full of hackers and they left the radio station unattended.
Yeah, but
I was so
they got
close.
Away with it.
I was so close to just walking in and just sort of finding out where the main mix desk was and just sitting down and doing a show without any authorisation.
I think if I remember rightly, the only reason we didn't was there was something else.
There was
we
something else we wanted
to
go and do. Yeah, but that's the problem with EMF. But I think I think that's my promise to myself. If I get this up and running and start recording regularly, I'm going to submit a tape, or we're going to submit the link to the website to EMF next year.
Not next year.
Oh, in 2 years.
Not till 2016.
Not till 2016. Oh, yeah, but seriously, if you're within the sound of my voice on the Tinterwebs, and it's at all possible for you to go to a Geek Fest, I would say this was extreme. It was like loads more British than DEFCON. It was a really English thing. It was a really nicely English thing, but with, you know, it was the countries that sort of like kind of like that. The people from Holland were just having a ball. Because, you know, basically it was a field full of slightly eccentric people who all had fun things to do. There was no way. You could have stopped every single person wandering around and asked them a few questions about what they enjoyed doing, and they would have come up with a fun thing. You could have stopped anybody walking around. You could have just bumped into them and said, tell me something interesting that you do for fun. And there would be just 5 million answers, all interesting. I might try and get a social movement going at EMF next year.
A social movement?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I mean sort of little communal areas where people that are feeling really sociable but didn't necessarily come with anybody. Like a conversation arena.
I think that was called the lounge.
No, but I think actually set it up and sort of like... Because I think it's one of those things, if you build it, they will come. If you are in this circle of seats...
Uh-huh.
You have basically come there so you can have a conversation, possibly with a complete stranger.
Yeah, okay.
They actually set it up, and I think it will be one of those things that people will meet lifelong friends there.
I think it's worth a go.
I think it just set, you know, because it's weird, because everybody kind of knew that they could talk to anybody, because the people that were there were that kind of person. Did you notice you could walk up to anybody's machine, anybody's sort store?
Oh, especially if they were busy with a project.
Anybody's thing that they had made. Every single person there, I guarantee you, was pleased as punch that you've shown an interest in what it is they'd spent all this time doing.
Every geek wants to talk about their project.
And every geek was so pleased that you were even interested. Because geeky people are spread out, generally speaking, they've got a lot more non-geeky people around them. So it's really tedious for them to talk to non-geeky people about what it is they've done. And usually the non-geeky people won't find it amusing or intriguing or fascinating. Whereas other geeks of different disciplines, of different sort of interests, when they meet someone that's built a giant big track or decided to build an arcade, an amusement arcade in a tent, or has decided that, you know, it would be fun to have a phone network set up for like 2 kilometres, you know, everybody thought, you know, their project, that wouldn't it be fun if we did that? And then gone and learned all these skills and done it. That's always interesting to other geeky people. It's what we want to hear. We want to hear that it's possible to do crazy shit.
And run up and squeal with glee and bounce up and down and play with the toys.
Yeah, it was full of toys. You know, from forges, from really Stone Age type stuff, to nettle string all the way up to, you know, drones and motorised vehicles and crazy shit like that, and, you know, sort of spaceship simulators. That, it cost us about 50 quid.
I do think it's pretty funny that I went to a geek festival and... there's all this high-tech stuff going on, and I basically spend the whole weekend learning Stone Age skills.
It was cool. I'm quite tempted to actually do the fire by Flint and Steel next year, in 2 years' time.
I think that would be a great workshop to run.
Yeah, I think people would really dig that, because they dug the nettle string thing. It was like, yeah, okay, it's really primitive. This is why we don't do this. Because it's awesome. But yeah, I think fire by Flint and Steel, if we can get somewhere to do it, would be fun. Because that's really amazing. People would love that. As a thing to learn how to do it, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Because most people can follow instructions, enough instructions to do it.
Yeah, the only issue might be about whether or not fire is allowed on the site.
Mm.
You might have to figure out a way to get it off the ground.
Mm.
Literally.
Yeah. Because it was a stubble field.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it hugely. There was just so much to do. If you're remotely geeky, you wouldn't be bored. In fact, if there is a 2-hour slot, you'd probably be quite glad. Just be like, just going to sit down and not do anything. There's a lot of thinking involved, a lot of interesting ideas.
Yeah, actually finding time to do things like eat and sleep.
I shall put a link to the Hexia guy's video, because that's totally in everybody's interest. That will be in the Recomedia.
Oh, yeah.
And also the flyover. So if you weren't there and you were at all able to get there, you're going to be sad that you weren't there if you were at all geeky. Because it was brilliant. Hugely. I'm surprised there were still tickets for sale on the day.
Yes, although apparently the 2012 one sold out completely.
Hmm.
So I wouldn't guarantee being able to buy tickets on the day for future ones.
Mm. But yeah, very cool. Take the family. It was a nice sight. Good showers, good loos, good food, good bars. There were three bars on site.
Were there three?
Mm.
Oh.
There was one near us where we were. There was Milliways. It was a set, well, not quite a bar, but a beer by donation.
Oh, yes, that's
and,
right.
And the Robot Arms up in the main complex, where all the stuff was.
I only had one beer all weekend. I was too busy doing things.
Mm. Yeah, it was one of those things. We were so busy, we were sort of tired out by the end of the day. But yeah, would do again. Well worth the money every time.
Yeah, I'm feeling homesick. Can I go back now?
Yeah, it was the geeks have landed. Oh, that Ben Hecht's talk was really funny. When he started talking into it and he started going, and then I had to replace the Z80 chip and repower the thing. And he said, at this point, people's eyes are normally glazing over. And he said, did you want to hear about how I programmed the graphics bus? And a roaring crowd, roaring, yes! And he went into great and nerdy detail as a result. It was brilliant. It was that sort of place.
I was busy hammering things at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the average IQ, I must have been dragging down the average IQ on that campsite. Seriously, if you calculate, my IQ would have been dragging it down slightly. There were some smart people there. They even launched a near Earth orbit balloon, a weather balloon, while we were there.
Oh yeah, I
and tracked
about
it,
that one.
Which we didn't get to go see. There was so much cool stuff. It was just jam packed full of groovy things and stuff people had made. It was the ultimate craft fair. It was like a high tech craft fair.
Is it more a skills fair?
Yeah, but definitely. And also, if you're the sort of person that can teach people something, that is the environment to do it in.
Because there weren't a whole lot of people selling things. There was only the one shop on site, but everybody was learning and sharing skills.
I must admit, I bet it would have been a cool thing to have a few more people selling tech on site.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I liked the fact that nearly everybody that was doing stuff for free or for cost or...
Yeah.
Just teaching people how to do things for themselves.
Mm.
I liked the fact that it wasn't heavily commercial.
I would have kind of liked to have seen a non-profit organisation or two that was doing something along those lines.
Possibly.
It was an alternate sort of business paradigm.
Yeah, possibly.
So educational systems that could do with selling a few of these so the money goes back into. I kind of like to see that. But yes, definitely volunteering for various things. EMF 2016.
Yeah.
I do want to help out.
If I'm alive, I'm going back.
Yeah. So that's all we have to say about that. There'll be links to the website, the wiki, and the Twitter site for EMF, because all the talks are going up online. So they'll announce when those are up, and details about all the other stuff. And probably if you leave yourself on the Twitter account, it will be EMF 2016's update. And I thoroughly recommend, if you're at all able to go, it's well worth it.
Oh, yeah, can't agree more.
So this is V and...
I'm Chaos Bunny.
Signing off. We've had a great time chatting about it. Hope you enjoy it. We'll put you back to the rest of the show.
And back. So that was me and the Chaos Bunny talking about EMF Camp, which was absolutely brilliant. There's another one in 2016, in case I didn't mention that on there. That was a pre-record. And go. Just, if you're listening to this and you've got the opportunity to go to anything like it, go. It was absolutely fantastic. So, the two tracks before that were Benjamin Jameson featuring Laurel O'Connell with Couches in My Head and Jonathan Coulton with I Feel Fantastic. Jonathan Coulton's the guy that wrote I'm Still Alive for the Portal theme tune. So, absolutely rubbish first half. Thank you for bearing with me stumbling all over stuff and continue to stumbling all over stuff. I'm going to try and get back in the swing of things a lot more over the next few weeks, so you're going to have to bear with me, unfortunately. So, I'm just going to go into some Recomedia for this very, very, very short show. So, I'm saying check out Night Vale. It's Welcome to Night Vale. Just do a search on Google. It's absolutely fantastic, really funny, sort of Cthulhu-esque Midwest American town, if that means anything to you. Go and check it out. And the TV series Utopia, which was made by Channel 4 a couple of years ago, I've just watched that, both series. Really go and grab it, get hold of it any way you can. It's actually being remade as an American remake by David Fincher, who did Fight Club, and I'm actually quite looking forward to the American version, because there were supposed to be three seasons of it and they only made two for Channel 4, so kind of looking forward to that. And the other top pick of the documentaries would be Andrew Marr's History of the World, 8 episodes, an hour long. Don't care how you get it, go get it. If you ever wanted like a crash course in history, 8 hours of your time, you'll have a very good idea of what world history means. And more structure show next week, and we're going to go out with another Jonathan Coulton track, The Princess Who Saved Herself, which is really brilliant, and I'm going to leave you with that. So thanks very much for listening, and I'll be better next week is the kind of thing. So yeah, take care all, get in touch at v4v at earthling.net, and go to rangers.com. We're going to start rebuilding all that now I've got actually somewhere sensible to record. And thank you to everybody that's been producing media in the interim, really appreciate it, keeping the complete idea of Rangers alive, doing a very good job. Rangers Oz, and also the Rangers A to Z being done by Iron Angel, Rangers Oz being done by Harlequin, and everybody's done a really good job. And anything that was done in the interim that we've got uploaded to you was really, really cool. Thanks to everybody who's sort of staying in the RC and keeping this whole idea of a community media show alive. So we're going to go for that, and see you next time.
There was a castle by a waterfall, with a pink and purple wall, and a princess living there. She had no parents and was all alone. She got by on her own, and she liked it pretty well, 'cause she never wore socks. She had a pet snake, she bought a red guitar, and she ate a whole cake. And there wasn't anybody there to tell her what to do, so she did what she wanted to. Everybody knew the story of the princess who saved herself. There was a dragon with a pointy tail. He was bigger than a whale, and his breath was terrible. He scared the princess when he came around, tried to burn the castle down, but she caught him by his tail. Then she tied him to a tree so the dragon couldn't fly. She told him he was mean, and it made the dragon cry. When he finally apologized, she offered him some tea. He accepted it graciously. Now he visits every weekend with the princess who saved herself.
Hello?
Hey, beautiful. Prince Philip.
Oh, hi, Philip.
Yeah, we met at the ball. I was the handsome one. I was wearing
Hey, Philip. Tell me if this sounds like a phone hanging up.
Yeah, it totally does. Hello? Oh, I see. There we go.
Hello?
V-5-4-5. I smell the...
Oh, come on!
There was a witch who was an evil queen. She was wrinkled, old, and green. The princess in her silver gown put the poison apple down, asked her where she bought her clothes. So they got the witch a dress, put some makeup on her face. They started up a band, and the dragon played the bass. Every Saturday they play until their fingertips are sore, mostly math, rock, and cuddlecore. And they call themselves the kingdom of the princess who saved herself.
Say I'm working at the NSA and somebody puts a code on my desk, something no one else can break. Maybe I take a shot at it, and maybe I break it, and I'm real happy with myself because I did my job well. But maybe that code was the location of some rebel army
in North Africa or the Middle East, and once they have that location, they bomb the village where the rebels are hiding. 1,500 people that I never met, never had no problem with, get killed. Now the politicians are saying, oh, send in the Marines to secure the area because they don't give a shit. It won't be that kid over there getting shot, just like it wasn't them when their number got called, because they were all pulling a tour in the National Guard. It'll be some kid from Southie over there taking shrapnel in the ass. He comes back to find that the plant he used to work at got exported to the country he just got back from, and the guy who put the shrapnel in his ass got his old job, because he'll work for 15 cents a day and no bathroom breaks. Meanwhile, he realizes the only reason he was over there in the first place was so that we could install a government that would sell us oil at a good price. And of course, the oil companies use a little skirmish over there to scare up domestic oil prices. A cute little ancillary benefit for them, but it ain't helping my buddy at $2.50 a gallon. They're taking their sweet time bringing the oil back, of course. Maybe they even took the liberty of hiring an alcoholic skipper who likes to drink martinis and fucking play slalom with the icebergs. It ain't too long till he hits one, spills the oil, and kills all the sea life in the North Atlantic. So now my buddy's out of work, he can't afford to drive, so he's walking to the fucking job interviews, which sucks, because the shrapnel in his ass is giving him chronic hemorrhoids, and meanwhile he's starving, because every time he tries to get a bite to eat, the only blue plate special they're serving is North Atlantic scrod with Quaker State. So what did I think? I'm holding out for something better. I figure, fuck it, while I'm at it, why not just shoot my buddy? Take his job, give it to his sworn enemy, hike up gas prices, bomb a village, club a baby seal, hit the hash pipe, and join the National Guard. I could be elected president.